Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Health Ranger Show. You're listening to an exclusive interview today with Jerry Boswell. He's the president and director of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights in Texas, the Texas chapter. And this is an organization that I've written about. I've talked about them before and the important work that they're doing to protect our children and our entire population from the crazy abuses of modern psychiatry and psychiatric drugs. Now, you may think that modern psychiatry isn't that dangerous if you really haven't heard this information before, but you will be blown away by what you're going to learn on this show today. I kid you not. Be warned that some of this is very disturbing information, but it's all true. And to tell you about it, let's welcome Jerry Boswell to the show today. Thanks for being on the show, Jerry.
Well, I really appreciate you having me, Mike.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, and your organization is doing such great work. Now, where should we begin? Can you share with people some of the true stories of what modern psychiatry has done to children and adults?
Yeah, Mike, I've been doing this since 1991. I've been the executive director and now president of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights in Texas. And, of course, in all those years, I've run into many stories. As you know, we were the first to herald the fact that many of these psychiatric drugs can actually cause someone to become suicidal. And we sounded this alarm, back in the early 90s. And now, of course, we have the FDA black box warning. Finally, enough pressure was put on the FDA where they actually took steps to warn people, of these dangerous side effects. But that's only part of the story. And one of the stories that we worked on in the last couple of years, you may remember Andrea Yates. She was a mother in Houston, Texas, who had five children. And this was a very highly publicized case. We didn't actually get into it until about 3 days prior to her conviction. We actually received a copy of her medical records. Andrea basically drowned her five children, mercilessly drowned them in a bathtub. And the act was so brutal in nature and so inexplicable that it literally created international headlines for months and months and months and months. And what was interesting was the focus, they blamed it on her religion, they blamed it on her husband, they blamed it on the fact that she was evangelizing and so forth and so on, but very little was told about Andrea's actual psychiatric history and her treatment just prior to the murder.
She must have been on a lot of medications, I suppose.
Unbelievable amount. And again, this was completely withheld from public's view by the media. And Andrea had tremendous hormonal upheavals after she would have a baby. And this is, as you know, very common, and it's also very easily handled with nutrition, basic things that help a woman rebuild her hormone structure after childbirth. But instead of that, what she received were powerful psychiatric drugs. Just 3 weeks prior to her committing this horrendous act, she was committed to a psychiatric hospital. And basically she was depressed. She had had another baby. She had another episode. And they committed her, and it was interesting because they gave her what's called a cognitive test. Who's the president of the United States, and, what date is it, and, blah, blah, just sort of current event type thing. And she answered all those questions very lucidly, but she was depressed. And so after that, the psychiatrist, Dr. Saeed, puts her on medications. And one of the medications that she was put on was a drug called Effexor. And he put her on 2.5 times the maximum manufactured recommended dose.
And is this common that doctors overdose people on these drugs?
It's called megadosing. And yes, unfortunately, it's very common. Why they do it, I've never understood. But for some reason, you can find, like the Texas comptroller found when we investigated the foster care system, there were children that were on as many as 13 different psychiatric drugs simultaneously.
Unbelievable. Now, is it common then now that after taking these drugs, new mothers start to be more violent, or they start to experience violent thoughts against their children?
Well, in her case, it was very evident that that's exactly what occurred. Because you see, in the medical record, you have nurse's notes, and then you have the doctor's notes. And just a day after she's put on this very large dosage, and there were two other psychiatric drugs that were being administered, see, the nurses start to write, patient seems confused, patient disoriented. The doctor's writing, patient improved, continue, Right. And you see this progression through the following days where patient hallucinating, patient paranoid, you know, just on and on and on how she's deteriorating to the point where, you know, it's delusional, paranoid, incoherent. You're getting all these different descriptions from the nurses. And then when her insurance expires, the doctor just promptly boots her out of the psychiatric hospital.
Okay, so this is a common kind of treatment scam that we see in many hospitals and clinics.
Exactly. Insurance expires, you know, now you're well. And they basically kick her out of the hospital. She goes home. Her husband's extremely concerned. There's notes, you know, where he's calling the doctor. The doctor brings her in and pulls her off all the drugs. This included an antipsychotic, another drug to help her sleep, and this massive dose affects her, and he pulls her off all these drugs simultaneously. So she goes through a real tough period. Then he sees her again, and again he gives her an antidepressant and an antipsychotic, and basically she goes home. She's home for one day, and the following day she brutally murders all five of her children.
Now, the headlines about this, of course, they take the tact of blaming the victim, right? They never really talk about the medications being part of this. They just talk about the mother being insane. And in fact, they use the fact that she was on medication to prove that she must have been insane, right?
And that's very common. See, if they can get you on a psychiatric drug, then they've set up all these different funding sources. You know, in other words, if you have a child and he's diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, the way you get different subsidies for disabilities and so forth is to put him on a drug. That drug then becomes proof that he is mentally ill. And it kind of reminds me of the young man that came into my office here just the other day. He was 12 years old. And he started out with a diagnosis of attention deficit disorder and basically immediately put him on Ritalin. And, of course, the Ritalin then causes side effects. And then eventually he starts talking about suicide. He's been on Ritalin for a year. By the time he's 9 years old, he's now talking about suicide. He's talking about killing other children. And again, this is a direct effect of these drugs. And then from there, of course, they say, well, you see, this is his mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so from there, he's put on a powerful antipsychotic drug. And then, you know, he develops further complications from that.
All right, Jerry, we've got to go to a break here. We'll be right back, though, with more information. Folks, you're listening to an interview with Jerry Boswell, the Texas president and director of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. You can find them online at www.cchr.org. That's for Citizens Commission on Human Rights, cchr.org. And we'll be right back after this break with more information about the dangers of psychiatric drugs on children and adults. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to the Health Ranger Show and an exclusive interview with Jerry Boswell, the Texas chapter president and director of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, also known as CCHR. You can find them online at cchr.org. And this is the organization that works to protect your children. In fact, all the children in this country from psychiatric drugs and the horrifying things that are being done to people in the name of modern psychiatry. It's not just children, by the way. It's also for all people, adults and senior citizens. We'll talk about that here as we continue this interview. Now, my question to you, Jerry, is about the school shootings that we've seen in this country. Now, we've seen a lot of information linking in those events, you know, the kids who picked up the guns to psychiatric drug use. It seems like all of them, or virtually all of them, have been put on some kind of psychotropic drug. Is that correlation true?
Yes. The majority of the shootings that you've read about have all been psychiatric drug related. And it's interesting to see that there would be such little media coverage on the fact that these children, and the mall shooter for that matter, were either taking or withdrawing from. You see, Mike, there's several different angles to this. We have sort of documented is that the real danger zones, when someone starts taking these drugs of having a major psychotic break like we've seen in these school shootings, initially when they start taking the drug, or at any time during taking the drug, but oftentimes we see it occur after they stop taking the drug.
So there's a transition period right when they're coming off the drug that they're potentially in danger.
They're potentially in danger. And I'll never forget one of the interesting cases I had out of Houston. It involved a mother who was taking an antidepressant for weight loss. At one time, they were trying to get Prozac approved as a weight loss medication back in the mid-90s. And she was actually on one of the protocols. And she woke up in the middle of the night, and she'd already been having severe effects from the drug. And she gets up, and she goes, and she gets her husband's .38 out of the closet, walks over, and is convinced that he is trying to kill her. Now, he's lying in bed asleep. And she pulls back the hammer and is literally aiming the gun at his head, when all of a sudden she gets some kind of a thing that this could be the drug. And as she has begun to squeeze the trigger, she drops the gun down and does not shoot him and wakes him up and so forth and so on. Now, what's interesting about that case is that she had no mental illness. See, if you look at the media reports, they always try to blame it on the quote-unquote mental illness.
Sure.
When in fact it's the side effect, or what I'm beginning to call the direct effects of the drug. Now, whenever someone experiences these effects, the psychiatrist's role is to immediately inform them that this is more of their mental illness. And then at that point, he will either add an additional drug or an antipsychotic or something to that effect, and it just becomes this constant merry-go-round.
So they've created a really clever logic trap where if they give you an initial dose of the drug, if you get better, they say, see, the drugs are working. If you get worse, they say, see, you need more drugs.
Exactly. And, of course, the other part of that becomes the, you know, basically they keep coming up with all these, everything is now a mental illness. Everything is now, you know, now they just recently came out with internet addiction disorder.
You know,
this is someone who surfs the internet too much, you know, is on his computer constantly and so
That's
forth.
That's me. That's
Yeah, I guess you and I are ready for psychotropic medication.
Well, isn't it true that, I mean, based on their test, almost everybody, I think 80% is the number, 80% of people taking their test would be diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder just from answering a few basic questions, right?
Yeah. And, you know, initially when the screening questions came out, they were public. You know, now they're doing all this mental health screening. You go to a doctor's office, and one of the first things they want to do to you is they want to mental health screen you. This has all been organized by the psychiatric pharmaceutical industry, where you go in and then they give you these questions. Well, we took the test online, and I had five different people do it, and we did it in about 100 different combinations. And each time, the recommendation was to go see a psychiatrist. It didn't matter how you answered the question. The recommendation was that you go see a psychiatrist.
So I was saying it's a rigged test then. I mean, it's really a recruiting tool, not a genuine scientific medical test.
Exactly. And the money behind it is just huge. You know, you see this whole movement in screening the entire U.S. population. I tried for years to expose that they were, in fact, attempting this, right? And finally, I was able to work with the British Medical Journal, and they published an article, you know, on screening the entire U.S. population, and then word finally spread that this conspiracy was actually occurring. And, of course, the idea was to refer at least 30% of the people that get screened into psychiatric services. And these services are so destructive. You know, normally, you know, and that's one of the things I really love about your website. You know, you have on your website all these very simple, basic solutions. You even have an entire area there where you list some of the foods, you know, that can cause mental disorders. And then you have the actual solutions to how to handle that. You know, and I highly urge your listener to check out your website if they're experiencing anything like depression.
And for those listening, that URL is naturalnews.com, and all you got to do is go there and search. Just type into the search box depression or foods for depression, and you'll find that.
Well, you know, things like the things you recommend, like exercise 3 times a week, you know, this type of thing. Well, see, that can't be patented. That can't be sold by the billions of dollars. You see, it's too simple. It's too basic. It's too elemental. And this is what the pharmaceutical industry and the psychiatric industry are after. They're after lifelong patients, patients that are going to need their drugs on and on and on and on. And the way I know this is that I work with a former pharmaceutical salesperson, and she has shown me and delineated to me their exact strategies. She worked with for several different pharmaceutical companies. In fact, she has a video posted on YouTube that everyone should watch. She actually also has a book that you can buy called Confessions of a Pharmaceutical Sales Rep, right?
Yes, I know that book.
And her name is Gwen Olson. So if you go to YouTube and type in Gwen Olson, the information is absolutely fascinating.
Is that Gwen, G-W-E-N?
Yes.
Okay, Gwen Olson. Search for that on YouTube, folks. Now, I'm sorry to interrupt you again, Jerry, but we've got to go to a quick break. You're listening to the Health Ranger Show, folks, and an interview with Jerry Boswell from the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. You can find them online at cchr.org, and I urge you to learn more about this organization and consider supporting them because of the way that they are working hard to protect your children and your family, your relatives even, from the dangers of modern psychiatry. So stay with me. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to the Health Ranger Show, and I'm your host, Mike Adams, the editor of naturalnews.com. I'm also known as the Health Ranger. And today we've got an interview continuing with Jerry Boswell from the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. They're an organization that fights for your health freedom. They fight against Big Pharma and the dangerous practices of modern psychiatry, an industry that I see as being extremely harmful to your health and to the health of your children. But I've got a question for you, Jerry, sort of a skeptical question that perhaps our listeners are asking themselves right now. And that question is, how could the people in this industry, the psychiatrists, how could they possibly be so evil as to participate in this? I mean, most people would think it's not possible. Couldn't be true. What's your answer to that?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, Mike. And this is the difficulty that we have, because you have this profession that it purports to help people with their difficulties. And Lord knows there are problems out there. You know, it's not like people don't get depressed. It's not like people don't develop hallucinations and things like that and don't become disassociated with reality. Over the years, you know, I thought, you know, how can you have an entire profession, and I can literally count on both my hands the different doctors that have, I'm talking about psychiatrists now, that have actually spoken out against it. I mean, one of them is one of our co-founders, Dr. Thomas Zaz, you know, who of course co-founded the Citizens Commission on Human Rights along with the Church of Scientology back in 1969. But why isn't there more of an outcry from the profession itself on what they're doing? It's very rare that you ever see a psychiatrist come out and admit to the harm that's being done. I got into a little research project on that, and what I found out is that if you choose psychiatry as a profession, as a specialty in medical school, that you then have to do an internship. And in that internship, you have to perform things like electroshock treatment, which is one of the most brutal acts I have ever witnessed in my entire life. You have to do things like megadosing. You have to be willing to drug. And if you're not, you're eliminated from that program.
Ah, so they filter out the people who have compassion for human beings.
It's a fascinating process, and I'll tell you who writes about it very eloquently. I found this one chapter in Dr. Bragan's book. I actually found numerous accounts of people that attempted to become psychiatrists who did not want to do this and were eliminated from the program. But Dr. Bragan writes about it in one of his bestseller books called Talk to Psychiatry. And, of course, Dr. Bragan has been a very forceful opponent against the drugging and against things like electric shock and lobotomy.
Now, you talked about Dr. Peter Bragan, and his last name, for those listening, is spelled B-R-E-G-G-I-N. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you can find his books on Amazon.com, by the way. I just want to let people know where they can find these resources as you're talking.
Yeah, sure. And Dr. Bragan, he writes about being forced to shock 200 patients. And at first he refused, and basically they were going to eliminate him from the psychiatric program. And so he consented, and now he calls it the most shameful act of his life.
You know, this reminds me of the Milgram experiments. I'm sure you're familiar with these. This was a, you know, a psychological experiment where they recruited students or study subjects to see how much they would shock other human beings. But it was all an act, of course.
Uh-huh.
Real electroshocks were not being administered, but the person that was supposed to be receiving them was acting like they were being shocked. And as long as an authority symbol was present, you know, an authority figure, the study subjects, the participants, would apply hundreds of volts of electroshock therapy just because they'd been told to do so.
It's a fascinating phenomenon. And when you look, you know, of course, everybody thinks lobotomy is gone. It's actually not. It's just been renamed. It's now called a cingulotomy. And now instead of going through, you know, the thin bone of the eye sockets, you know, they go up under the eyelid with literally ice pick looking devices. And they swizzle it around in the frontal lobes of the brain. Well, now they drill holes from the top down and they insert a superheated probe. Now, these are acts that, what can you say, Mike?
Well, they're crimes. I mean,
they're crimes against humanity is exactly what
absolutely.
They are. And yet, psychiatry continues to promote these. In fact, in China, they just had a crackdown. They were lobotomizing so many people with such devastating effects that the actual Chinese government, the totalitarian government, actually took action against the psychiatric profession over there. That's just very recent.
But our own government in the United States will not take that action against the industry here.
Oh, and that has to do with the tremendous influence of, you know, the psychopharma complex. I mean, they literally have one lobbyist for every single congressman and senator in Washington, D.C. And that just is the tip of the iceberg. You see them giving out these grants, right? And they create these front groups. Several of them have been created strictly to demonize our organization. You know, anyone that speaks out against them, they're going to come after you. They're going to castigate you as much as possible. And one of the ways that they've controlled the media and control the science is by massive, you know, quote-unquote humanitarian grants to universities.
Right. I know how this works.
They have literally bought their science and controlled their science, so much so that in the past few years, finally the medical journals are getting into trouble for failing to disclose the huge conflicts of interest of the different psychiatrists that have initiated this quote-unquote science.
Virtually all of that science that's been published in the mainstream medical journals is fraudulently conducted, and they don't disclose the conflicts of interest. And I think there's only one journal out there that I really trust, and that's the Public Library of Science Medicine, the open source journal. And they publish things against antidepressants, and proving that antidepressants don't even work.
And finally, that information is starting to come to the public's eye. But then you have the problem of the media itself. You see, that's the rest of the picture. How do they keep this out of the media? I mean, this is bombastic stuff, you know? I mean, this should be on the front page of every paper in the country, yet it's very rare that we see these articles coming out in a sustained stream like we did when antidepressants first came out on the wonder drugs they were, right?
Yes, right.
And how does that happen? Well, let me tell you. What they do is they hire these huge PR firms. These firms literally control billions of dollars. And so here you are, imagine this, you're an executive of a broadcasting station, and you receive a call from a guy that controls literally 30-40% of your advertising budget. And he says, we don't want this show to go on. What do you think the response is going to be?
Sure. They've got to protect their revenues. They got to play ball with the people paying their bills.
And that's why strategically it was so important that they deregulate and be able to advertise these drugs. You remember when all the antidepressant drugs, you know, the little bouncing smiley faces with the frown on it, you know, and are you depressed and blah, 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 blah. There were literally hundreds of millions of dollars spent on promoting the drugs. And there's a tremendous amount of censorship. in terms of the truth of these drugs. That's why your listeners will only get this type of information on a show like yours, a freedom fighter show like yourself, that is willing to tell people the truth about health, tell people how to really achieve sound lives and healthy existences.
Well, yeah, that's why people really appreciate this show so much, because they instantly recognize that it's unique information that they're not getting from the mainstream, and it's honest, genuine information. And we bring on guests like you who are not typically allowed to speak your mind in the mainstream media. I mean, I doubt the Associated Press would tell your story, or CNN or Fox News or any of those others. But here on the Health Ranger Show, folks, you get the real story. Now, we've got to go to another break, Jerry. When we come back, I'd like to ask you about some solutions. What can people do to protect themselves, their children, and their families from the psychiatric industry and the psychotropic drugs that are causing so much harm today? So we'll be right back after this break with those answers and more right here on the Health Ranger Show. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to the Health Ranger Show and an interview with Jerry Boswell from the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, CCHR. They're found online at www.cchr.org. And in this segment, we're going to talk about some of the solutions that you can use to protect yourself from the dangers of psychiatric drugs. But I want to lead off with a quick warning or a disclaimer that says, if you're on these drugs right now, recognize that coming off of them can be dangerous all by itself. So don't quit them cold turkey. Don't come off of them on your own. Make sure you're doing it under the supervision of a qualified health practitioner. I prefer that you find a naturopathic physician, a licensed, qualified naturopath, and not an MD. But of course, you should always seek some kind of qualified medical advice as you're transitioning off of these drugs. So keep that in mind as you listen to the solutions here. Now, Jerry, let's start with some of the things that people can do to protect themselves from these dangerous psychiatric medications.
Well, the first thing is to be very skeptical the minute that you hear and see. Unfortunately, psychiatry has expanded the use of these drugs into the medical profession. The medical profession has literally been brainwashed by the pharmaceutical companies and their intense marketing. And you have no idea. You really have to watch Gwen Olson's video to understand what I'm talking about. These doctors are given so much false information. They buy into it as quote-unquote science, and then they start handing this stuff out like candy. So it's very likely anytime you go to a medical doctor's office, it's not just psychiatrists anymore. That medical doctor, the minute that he can't help you, he's going to start recommending a psychiatric drug. And I want to tell a little story about this. About 2 years ago, I went to visit my father and got to talking to some family friends and found out that she had been on antidepressants for about 5 or 6 years. And I asked her, I said, Glenda, why in the world would you get on that drug? And she said, well, I just reached a point where I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I had no energy. I can't live without them, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, Glenda, what you need to do then is you need to get a good, thorough medical checkup, and you need to get with some alternative practitioners and start handling your nutritional and, so you know, just your standard basic things. And, well, no, I'm afraid to do that, and blah, blah, blah. And it turned out, as I looked at her medication list, she was actually on 3 different psychiatric drugs, and she didn't even know it. So last year, she finally takes my advice, and she starts having some abdominal problems, and it turns out she has colon cancer. So you see, the drug actually masked the fact that she had a very serious underlying condition. And so people need to be aware of this, that if you are depressed unexplainably, or you are having mental problems, it could be a sign that there's an underlying physical condition that hasn't been detected, which can be handled with proper nutrition. It can be handled homeopathically. There are so many solutions out there today, and you should avail yourself of them. But none of them are a quick fix. See, so often I deal with people, oh, I tried everything. And then on closer discussion, I find out that their exercise program consisted of going to the gym 3 times in 1 month, that their nutritional change consisted of not drinking milk for a week. You see, that's not going to cut it.
Well, so many people who suffer from the symptoms of depression really only have a sunlight deficiency or a deficiency in omega-3 oils, or they're not getting enough exercise, or they're eating the junk foods that bring them down, like trans fatty acids, artificial colors, MSG, chemical sweeteners, those kinds of things. I mean, I haven't met a single person who hasn't completely recovered from depression if they really do all the right things. Sunlight, exercise, omega-3 oils, raw foods, healthy foods, superfoods, and so on. I mean, it's like an instant recovery. Well, I shouldn't say instant. It's a simple recovery, but you're right. It does take some time. But making the decision to do that can happen in an instant.
And see, what that ties into is the recent article in USA Today. This is a fascinating article, Mike. People that are caught up in the mental health system live 25 years, on average, less than people who do not become caught up in the mental health system. And this is a recent article. And, you know, we've, of course, known that for years, that people that are caught up in the mental health system taking these powerful drugs that are literally neurologically devastating are dying much sooner than people who don't get caught up in that system. Now, so your listenership needs to be aware of that. And if they know of people that, see, now we have the Internet. And the Internet has been a wonderful tool. You can actually find a lot of this information. You know, you have SSRI Crusaders. You have all these different websites that you can go to by just searching, doing a little bit of homework, and actually finding out what's going on. But we need to take action. We need to take action as a populace. You know, one of my favorite statements is, when good men do nothing, evil flourishes. And I want to tell you something. This is evil. What's being perpetrated, you know, it's kind of like I was telling you how a psychiatrist becomes one. Well, it takes a certain mentality to become a member of the KKK. It takes a certain mentality to be a child molester, right? And it takes a certain mentality to become a psychiatrist. And if we don't get together, if good men don't get together and actually start fighting this shoulder to shoulder, they are going to drug every man, woman, and child in this country. I mean, you go back and you look at the 70s when ADHD drugs first started coming out. They were saying less than 1% of children have ADHD. Now it's 30%.
Yeah, they're not going to be satisfied until that's 100% or they've diagnosed everybody with something. I mean, I guess according to modern psychiatry, you're diseased from the moment you're born to the day that you die.
They're talking about drugging children in the womb, Mike. I have a recording of a lady that is responsible for the mental health screening who's talking about prenatal psychiatric treatment based on the fact that if the mother has a depressive disorder, she's genetically defective and the child is going to be depressive. Now, that is scary. And it's unbelievable. And that may be its best protection. It's so unbelievable that this could be going on in a modern society. You know, this is not the Dark Ages, or is it?
Well, it seems like it, but as you're well aware, the public is often very easy to be tricked or hoodwinked into this because they have so much money to spend on advertising and promotion. They use such powerful methods of seduction or distortion. I mean, they have the psychology game nailed. Just the labeling of disease by itself is a very powerful form of hypnotic suggestion in a way.
Oh, and it gives a person an excuse, you know?
Right, right. I mean, they have mastered the manipulation of the masses. So how do we ever stop this? What should we do?
Well, the first thing is to, number one, educate yourself. And like I say, there's our site. There's many, many other sites not affiliated with us. We're not the only ones to see this problem. Get on there and educate yourself. Then take on the task of educating others. Believe me, you work with people that are on antidepressants. You work with people whose children are on psychostimulants and other drugs that are going to shorten their lifespan. Do something about it. Then go to opinion leaders. Go to your legislator. Take them the information that you find. All you have to do is print it out on a computer and go in there and just start talking to them and tell them, I'm concerned about this. I want something done about this. And you're my representative, and you're the one that needs to step up to the plate. But you see, they're so inundated with the other side, with lobbyists in $5,000 suits, or actually it's probably $10,000 suits now.
Yeah.
That are being paid unbelievable sums to promote this agenda. But I'm telling you, this society will not make it if we don't band together and we don't stop this plague. It's just one big part of an even bigger picture. It's so unfathomable sometimes that it amazes me myself.
I'm amazed, too. I'm horrified by what goes on out there and what people can be manipulated to do by these pharmaceutical companies and by the psychiatric industry when they lack the education. I mean, that's why I do what I do, Jerry, is I try to teach people to open their minds, give them new options, access to new information that they didn't have before that can literally save the lives of their children. And that's why I also appreciate what your organization is doing, Citizens Commission on Human Rights. The website, again, folks, is www.cchr.org. You should check out that website. You can also search for other organizations. Just go onto Google and search for your parents against antidepressants or the dangers of psychiatric drugs or whatever phrase comes to mind. And search for that, educate yourself, find the answers, and find natural, safe ways to help enhance the brain health or the mental health of you and your children. Don't rely on synthetic chemicals, in my opinion. Now, Jerry, we've got to wrap this up, but thanks for joining us on the Health Ranger Show today. It's been a real pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for your work, Mike. You have no idea how much it's appreciated. You're a brother in arms.
Well, thank you very much. And folks, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this show. It's been educational. You've been listening to the Health Ranger Show. Stay with us. We will return on the next broadcast with more great information for enhancing your health and protecting your health freedom. Talk to you then.